The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Did you know what water sports meant? Did you ever know what water sports meant when you were young and looking at pornography?
No. You mean like peeing on people?
Yeah, that was like, not to divert totally, but like that was like the only thing. It would be like porn, gay, lesbian, and then like a smattering of other like Asian, ebony, they would call it ebony. And then it would just be water sports. And I was like, I legit was afraid to click on it. And I thought it was a whole genre of people who like to fuck on like Ski-Doos and stuff.
I think I'd rather see
legit,
that.
I legitimately thought that's what it was. And it only took one click for me to find out I was incorrect.
Yeah, we're talking about that last week. People fucking feet. Now the water sports.
Oh, yeah, we had the feet thing. All right.
What am I missing?
Listen.
Why does none of that appeal to me? Am I just a square?
It doesn't have to. To each their own, Dave.
Yeah. So.
To each their own.
Yeah, I guess like with any of that activity, you've got compartments. You know, some people are doing the peeing, and some people like to be peed upon.
Look at it like music, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of avenues to travel down to find what suits you. And what a wonderful thing the internet did was bring groups together that thought they were all alone out there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to ask to be peed on, and I don't know if I can just pee on somebody.
We used to do that in high school.
Peed on each other?
Yeah, I guess I was into water sports and didn't even realize it, but definitely scratching a different itch. But sometimes you'd shower, you know, after football practice, and a little game, just, you know, hey, who can we pee on while we're showering and them not notice? And
that's that whole umbrella of consensual that I think you missed.
Yeah, I guess so. Jeez.
Unless you find one friend who's like, ooh, let me go next. And then I think you were doing something a lot more than just football.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. Yeah, I didn't even realize I've partaken in these events. Okay.
Yeah, well, unwittingly.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, sorry for that veering. This is more like a kite surfing kind of community.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff like that. When they were, you know, everything kayaking, they got this big bend in the river, but he's out there, he's fishing, did a big old hike, because not bring, like, there's mountain bike trails, I didn't bring a bike, I thought the weather was going to suck, I thought because on a weekend, I don't like to ride on a mixed-use trail,
because
I'd been out there before, and just so many hikers, you just feel like you're in the way. There was nobody out, I should have brought a bike, but it was great. Anyway, so, Hood River, great show, thanks for everybody that came out. It was a good time, and I stayed at a haunted hotel. Nothing haunted.
Oh, yeah?
I think haunted. I think things are haunted now just as a tourist attraction. It used to scare people off. Now it's like, oh, if your old hotel doesn't have a ghost story, it's lame.
Did you hear any of the backstories of this particular hotel?
It's like being a stand-up comedian without previous trauma. It's like, well, why am I even listening to you?
Yeah.
If you're not going to tell me about what went wrong in your life or what issues you have.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. Somebody else was like, oh, well, this hallway, I saw something, this and that. They put me in some room that faced a pizza place parking lot. So I was only haunted by drunks coming out of the pizza place. That's all I saw. But yeah, they were good shows. It was a fun couple of days, and thank you to the folks that ran the Button Bridge Comedy Festival and the locals that just came out from the mountains to see some comedy.
That sounds like
it was
time.
One of those shows too. It was one of those shows where it's like, oh man, I got my ass handed to me a little bit last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, you know, you forget these skills that you have to have. Like, oh, nobody in here knows who I am.
Yeah.
I should still be able to have a good opener mm-hmm. and win people over. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting a little too comfortable with my own crowd that I was like, ooh, those skills are getting dusty. And I found that out last weekend in Washington.
Yeah.
Still, it was fine. It wasn't anything tragic, but I was like, oh, yeah, man, that's a real pitfall for comics as you
get for sure.
used to play into your group. It's like, no, I got to win. I got to win over new people, man. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to grow.
Yeah, I face that every time I just do, you know, spots in town or whatever. You come off mm-hmm. a tour where, you know, you're playing to people who are there to see you, and, you know, it gets in your head a little bit. Like, yeah, I could do no wrong. And then you do a coffee shop in Silver Lake with a bunch of people half your age, and they're like, why is this old fucker talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to, yeah, keeps you sharp. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of a lot of drunks in an Elks Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
But they were good. It was a good crowd. They were like rowdy, but like rowdy, like it was a rare rowdiness that the mic wasn't working real well Friday, and it kept cutting out, so they had to pause and try and fix it. And it was like, it's nobody's fault, you know, shit happens. And then they're like, all right, well, we're going to try and take a break, so everybody wants to go to the bar and get a drink. And somebody's up and like talking again, you know, getting drinks. But then they started the show back up, everybody got sat back down, and the show was great. I was like, I thought that was like, that's the death knell for any show of like, get up and commiserate.
Yeah.
You know, it loses the momentum, but it didn't. Everybody was on board, and even with the techie diffs, it was still a good show. And so, anyway, that was my weekend, Dave. What did you do with your weekend?
Oh, man, I spoke
Goblins and ghouls, Sasquatches and Yeti.
What did I do? I smoked a lot of weed and ate some Korean barbecue.
Look at Dave on par for every weekend we've talked about the last 2 years.
Yeah, I was like, 420, might as well celebrate. And then I'm like, well, how's this different than almost any other day of the week? But no,
yeah, man. I never gave much of a shit about that.
Yeah, you know, especially if, I don't know, that's like me celebrating cheeseburgers. One day a year. It's like, oh, okay, well, this is what I do quite often anyway. But sure, maybe I don't feel so guilty about it this one day.
But, you by yourself?
Yeah, just had a little one-man 420 party. Just, you know, kicking it in my record room, listening to some records, smoking some dubs, exploring my mind.
How much do you get? There's a critical mass for how much weed I can have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a lot where it's like, there's not like I'm getting further into my imagination or curiosity. Mm-hmm. I'm just like static.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. For me, it's the same. Like it takes a while to get there, but then once I reach that certain limit, it's like, all right, there's nothing beneficial is going to come from this at this point. Other than me just getting
hungry. That's almost immediately for weed for me. Yeah. It's like the old, I don't know how many, remember when TV channels would sign off?
Oh, yeah.
Like the last show of the night, probably MASH.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd play the national anthem, and then it would just be static before infomercials came about.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did that
with
radio.
That's what my brain does. Okay, so you sign up. That's what my brain does pretty quickly with weed.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
We're done programming thoughts for you, buddy. God bless America. Here's some fuzz.
Yeah.
Watch some TV. Or be panicked about something that does not deserve your anxiety, but mm-hmm. you're going to give it to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I as much weed as I smoke, I'm still not, you know, as far as the different types and whatnot, like to me, like I can definitely tell the difference like after the fact. But going into it, I never know what to expect. I can't remember, okay, well, I smoked this type last week and it did this, or I had a bad experience with this. Mm. It's just like, all right, whatever Katie brings home, I just suck it down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing too eventful. Yeah, went and ate Korean barbecue and hit golf balls with our buddy Billy Wayne Davis. We went to...
Golf balls is a good time.
Oh, man, it's a good time. There's this place in Koreatown. It's kind of like... Oh, yeah. It's a multi-level.
Like a double-decker out there.
Yeah, it's like a multi-level driving range. I think they got four or five different levels, but it's also like a Korean spa and a bunch of other stuff. So there was probably at least 50 people out there hitting golf balls, and three white guys, me, Billy, and his dad. He brought his dad. And yeah, some of these Asian folks are really into it. Like they had like – there was – crews out there with matching uniforms, and just one guy had like three different bags. One guy had three different sets of clubs, and yeah, hardcore.
He's trying them out. You know, he's taking them for an audit.
Yeah, but I think
CJ Sullivan had a joke about. He's like, the reason Asians love golf, I think they just like the space. It's so crowded over there. Like they got so many people. He's like, oh, look at this land. Yeah, let me out there.
But yeah, I'm not a big golfer, so I never think of that as like a recreational activity to consider. You know, only time I ever go to the driving range is I have a couple of different friends that are into it, but it's a good time. I always think I'm fairly coordinated and athletic until I try to hit a golf ball. Just, you know, because I can hit a baseball, or at least I used to could. But and you would think it's similar, but you'd think it'd be easier because the golf ball's sitting still. But
but then you got the different thing, man.
Yeah,
it's you know, you've been to Topgolf?
No, I hear that's a good time.
Okay, let's go Boogie Monster Top. Why aren't golf courses ever haunted? The battlefield, you know, they're building golf courses on some battlefields.
Of course,
There's like a par three somewhere in like Virginia that is just like, it's like a dog leg over just at least a few dozen Civil War soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think, there has to be some crossover there.
If you tell somebody a place is haunted, people are going to see ghosts there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't say it's haunted, you're like, oh, we just, if they didn't know, there's that, then golfers aren't looking for ghosts.
No.
They're not going to see ghosts.
Mm-mm.
I think I'm coming to realize how much is truly psychological and seeding the imagination.
Mm-hmm. That's disappointing you didn't have any experiences at a haunted hotel, though.
I haven't had, never.
Yeah.
Every hotel's haunted. Everything's haunted.
I still have never seen a ghost. Man, I'd like to.
No, it's almost like maybe it's not real. Or you have to be like an antenna of psychic energy to see it.
Yeah.
And there are not many of those specially equipped individuals out in the world. Mm-hmm. I think that's the matter. I think that's how it works. That some people are a little more in tune.
Yeah.
But yeah, old hotels, always things creak, things do this and that. Golf courses. I did that joke. I cut that joke from the special about how golf courses and cemeteries should be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Carlin had a joke about like letting homeless people sleep on a golf course, and I mentioned that too. It was too close.
Yeah.
Maybe it might come out on the audio. I think the audio is coming out. I might let it go. But I was like, ah, shit, man. I've had too many jokes that are like, I don't know, it bothers me when they're close to other people's.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that, but like, parallel thought is definitely a thing. And what some of these dipshit trolls don't understand is like, just because you're touching on a similar or the same topic doesn't necessarily I'm stealing a joke.
But more like, oh, this is a Carlin bit. Like, fuck, man, I have not watched the library of classic comedy. But if it's like a Carlin bit, it's like, all right, I think I gotta yank mine out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. What's you gotta go to Topgolf, Dave? Let me go back to that. You gotta go to Topgolf. It's like a game. They track there's a little tracker in the ball. It tells you how far it goes.
Okay.
You get points. You aim at little targets and everything.
Hmm.
They bring you beer like a bowling alley. They bring you stuff to your little stall lane there or whatever you got.
Yeah.
Pod.
That sounds fun. Man, I saw a video recently. Do you know who Mike Trout is? Does that name ring a bell?
Didn't name. See, baseball player.
Yeah, good job, buddy. Good job. Arguably the most talented baseball player on the face of the earth. You could throw his teammate in there, Shohei Ohtani. He's also in that discussion. But for years, probably in his 12th season, 13th season maybe, but for the last decade, just the LeBron James of baseball. Like, this guy's the best. But there's a there was a video recently of, I think he was at Topgolf, him and I presume some teammates. But it shows him hitting a ball, driving, and just using all his baseball skill and power. And that ball, it just disappeared into the night. But it was one of the most impressive. You only see the beginning of it, you know. 100 feet later, it just disappears. But, like, it was one of the most powerful drives I've ever seen. Just absolutely just destroying a golf ball.
Did it get it to the destination?
Yeah, there's no telling where it went. But I was talking to Katie about that the other day, about people who don't, she could care less about sports, but I was trying to articulate, like, okay, why do I like sports? Or the people who like sports, why do they like it? I think it's just human physical achievement, just seeing somebody do something that, in theory, everybody can do. You know, if you're able-bodied, everybody could jump up and try to touch something, or everybody could in theory throw a ball or try to swing a bat. But to see people, you know, 8 billion people on the planet, like, oh, this guy's probably the best at this little thing here. And that's all that never gets old to me. I could sit and watch crazy sports highlights, you know, just the fastest runner, the strongest person, whoever, just that shit never gets old. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's an exceptional version of the stuff we're all. I mean, that's that goes for, like, musical ability and
Yeah, anything really. Yeah, I like
a lot of that. Well, that's what, you know what, like, I've been watching a lot of TV. Rachel's been out of town. I've just been plopping on a couch, crushing some series.
Yeah,
but acting. Good acting, like, it's good. It's never as impressive as, like, a physical feat, Like, there's an industry, like, that they've hyped up showbiz so much. And as much as I don't watch sports, I do think that's more impressive than being in a movie, like, than being acting in a movie. I'm sure it's apples and oranges, of course, but the celebration of the Oscar and the most celebrated performance, I'm like, oh, that's good. You retained the ability to make believe. Well into adulthood, but the fact that it's exalted, like, oh my god, the Oscars and this just Hollywood celebrated actors, like, you should be more looked at like a good electrician.
Well, yeah,
like, and you've diagnosed a problem quicker and more efficiently than other electricians.
Yeah,
but. And I do. There's some. I won't say there's not some natural ability.
Sure.
But yeah, the guy that free solo dude who climbed up. Is that Mount Baldy or like a Half Dome? So, like, that's limitlessly more impressive than. I made myself sad when they said action.
Well, yeah, like, art is subjective and sports is not. Like, there's no debate when you see a guy run the fastest. Like, that's clearly the fastest guy, or that guy clearly scored the most points, or gal, or they, whoever. And I think that's also why I've always liked sports, too. It's such a meritocracy. Yeah. Like, there's nobody's on the NFL team because their uncle knows somebody, you know?
It's measurable.
Yeah, either you're performing well or you're not, and
there's no Nepo World Series winners.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that helps to a certain degree. You know, like, if
Michael Jordan got to play baseball.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's still that whole thing. Still, we talked about that years ago about.
Yeah.
The conspiracy theory is that he didn't just get bored of basketball and wanted to try baseball. He was about to get suspended because of some gambling stuff. So rather than be suspended. He just took a hiatus to play baseball. But anyway, yeah, that's what I love about sports. I just love just everybody on the court tonight is there because they are the best at their position, not because of who their agent is or who their grandfather is or anything like that. So that's sometimes that can be refreshing. Just like, oh, this is the best person at this thing.
And it's weird because that's why I got attracted to like BMX or skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can rank it if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, there's like style points.
Yeah.
There's still like, oh, you both did this same trick, but this guy did it different. And, you know, that guy, oh, by the way, like one of the best skateboarders. Do you know the comedian Paul Rodriguez, right?
Yeah.
His son is one of the best skateboarders in existence. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I was like, oh, Paul Rodriguez. That's funny. That's the name of the comedian I remember seeing in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, that's his kid. So, like, you were like, what? I don't think it's a Nepo baby if your dad was a famous comedian and you just happen to be a phenomenal skateboarder.
Yeah.
But watching those guys, you know, watching those guys like just without competition, surfing or anything, those guys can exist without competition.
Yeah.
Just as like, oh, I do this thing really well with style. Like, you can't exist as a great baseball player without competition.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's where the art part of those kind of sports come into play for me. Like, oh, you're just famous because you're good, and look at this thing you did, and you never did the X Games, maybe, but you just interpreted this architecture in a way to skate on it or bike ride on it.
Yeah,
and that I dig that stuff too. Anyway, philosophical about athleticism.
Welcome back to Meditation Mindset. Time spent alone is the most important...
Sergey, are you still in the bath?
Yes, I'm listening to my podcast.
Can I come in?
Ah! No, no, no! Oh!
Just need to grab the claw clippers. Don't worry, I'll cover my eyes.
What?
Whoa!
Carl, I'm gonna fall!
Whoa! I'm still not looking.
And I'm not listening to my podcast.
Don't wombat it, meerkat it.
Simples.
Man, something else sports related I've been watching lately is, what do you call it? Like body weight exercises or, I don't know what the term is for. Like you see the guys, you know, in the public playgrounds doing pull-ups and chin-ups and doing all these weird body positioning. Like some of that stuff is just insane. Like to see someone, the thing I see a lot now is people doing push-ups, but guess what? My feet are off the ground. I'm doing a push-up. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's just the circus.
I mean, that's insane. Yeah, some of that Cirque du Soleil shit is, talk about impressive physical feats of, holy shit.
Yeah, why did we ignore it? Why have we been ignoring it for 40 years because mimes were doing it?
Yeah.
But now a guy, like, tapes himself with his phone in the gym. We're like, no way. Like, yeah, this has been happening whimsically with the French erotic circus that's come to town every year.
Or like a guy will hold it, a guy will try to like do a pull-up, like he'll jump up and grab a bar and he'll do a pull-up, but then he'll do that thing with his legs and feet like he's climbing an invisible staircase. Like, what the hell? Like, that's insane, some of this stuff.
Yeah,
I've never felt older and fatter.
Can you do pull-ups? Is that? I know you do kettlebells. I know you're a strong man, Dave.
How are you in the
pull-up department?
I've never been able to do an unassisted pull-up. Like, I got too much body weight. I used to work out at this one gym that had, like, a pull-up machine where you stand up there and you grab the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got the thing below your feet that's kind of pushing you up a little. Yeah, that was fun, and that makes you feel like you're actually doing it. But, man, that pull-up, especially for fat dudes, like, they're just too much. I gotta drop 100 pounds before I can even think about doing a pull up. But
I bought one. Yeah, I bought a pull up bar over the pandemic before we were like gym members. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I know this is like a good exercise.
Yeah, if you can do
it's got the pull up and the dip thing and the little push up. thing.
Yeah,
it's
I could do some dips.
Tubing.
I could knock out push-ups. I could probably, no shit, knock out 35 push-ups right now. But can't do a single fucking pull-up, man. That's always been like the thorn in my side, too. Like, no matter how strong I was. I mean, there was a time in my prime, I could bench 340 pounds. And I weighed 190. So I was throwing up 340 at 190. Wow. And that's, you know, that's strong. But still couldn't, even at that time, couldn't do a fucking pull-up. Couldn't do one. And that's frustrating.
It's like a different group of muscles. I think I can do where your hands are overhand.
Mm-hmm.
I could do, I think I can get two.
What do you mean? Your
underhand,
hands are
over? I bet you.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
When your hands, like yeah, when they're forward, like how you like hold a bicycle handlebar.
Yeah.
I can't do it wide, though. When it's wide, the dudes that do those when they're wide, yeah, I don't even know how they're doing those.
Or one arm. See some of those dudes doing a one arm pull up.
Get the fuck out of here with one arm. We're not even talking about one arm stuff.
It's insane.
Yeah, we're tied. Two, I holding them towards me, holding my palms towards me, I can get, I bet you I could do four.
It's crazy how much.
But that's it.
How much has changed.
Anyway,
in
welcome
that
to Boogie Monster Physical Fitness, Presidential Fitness Week on the Boogie Monster.
It is crazy. I used to be deep in that world, you know, as a teenager and stuff, and like I said, even in my prime, I didn't look great. I mean, I looked like I was kind of in shape. But now, like with the advancements and all the training techniques and the nutrition, and you'll see a YouTube video of like, oh, it's a 15-year-old football player. He's, you know, and the guy looks like he's a 25-year-old bodybuilder. You know, guy's 180 pounds or bench pressing, you know, 450 pounds. It's like, good God. It's insane. And they're starting those kids young, too, like. There's this, what's the name of this YouTube channel?
I wonder if the same argument that people have about, like, trans children and treating them physically,
mm-hmm,
in regards to hormone blockers, people also have about, like, athletes that are, like, a body that's still developing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's been a debate
to do
for
something
years
like that to it.
Yeah, like, you know, teenage bodybuilders and stuff. Like, I don't know all the facts, of course, but yeah, I think some of that's got to be detrimental to your growth. You know, if you're just working out like a professional bodybuilder when you're 12, like that can't be good for you. But yeah, they're starting those kids. There's this, what's that thing? There's some web series, it's called No Days Off, and they just highlight teenage sports prospects and stuff. But now, I saw one the other day, it was like an 8-year-old, and he's like, oh, he's the next football prodigy. He's 8. And he's doing all this, like, advanced training drills. Like, shit you would see, you know, in the NFL training camps. Like, just crazy techniques and all different equipment. And, like, this kid's 8. Like, let him be a kid.
I'm sure he's gonna love his dad for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's not going to come.
I'm sure he's going to be 30 with advanced arthritis, torn rotator cuffs, and absent cartilage going, boy, thank God I didn't have any fun as a child.
Yeah. Well, and sports are supposed to be fun for children. Like, I feel like some of that just might.
Tell that to some of the dads.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so glad. I mean, as you know, I was a big athlete when I was a kid, but I was so glad that my dad was chill with all that. Like, he pushed me and motivated me and stuff, but he never. My dad, and he came to every game. My mom, they were very supportive, but I don't ever remember my dad or mom having an incident where they're screaming at an umpire, screaming at another parent. Like, man, some of those folks just go way overboard. I'll never have that problem, though.
No, I didn't get
benefits of not having kids.
I didn't get pushed into anything. I got supported.
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, you want to do this? All right, give it a shot. You want to do this? All right, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Man, going back to those water sports, dude. If I lived... Almost,
oh, the which kind?
Oh yeah, no, the actual the literal kind. Man,
my parents got me into peeing on people. Boy, I'd be.
No, what I'm trying to say is, I was starting to say I wish I lived closer to a body of water, but yet I'm 12 miles from the ocean. But
yeah, dude.
No, like if I lived near a river or something, God, I would love to just start kayaking all the time. And I guess I could figure out how to do that around here, but oh, dude.
Yeah, Dave, you don't have anything to do.
That's true. I have time.
You got Belmont Shores right there in Long Beach, mm-hmm. where you lived.
Yeah.
You can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
You live near the water.
Yeah, but I don't live near, like, whitewater. Some rapids.
Yo, you think you were just going to be, like, level 4 rapids or whatever, however they're ranked?
I got really into it years ago. I probably went, one summer, I probably went 20 times over the course of this one summer, me and a buddy. And, dude, some of the most fun I've ever had in my life. So much fun.
I mean, you got Kern River. You got Pyramid Lake. You got stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I need to do, man. I need to get into water sports.
I just like lake kayaking. I mean, people can take that soundbite.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Dave?
Let's talk about
what's
some
scary.
Let's talk about. Well, it's not. Well, it could be scary. I wanted to delve deeper into deepfakes. We're talking about AI last week, and you had mentioned some deepfakes. And man, try the first time I saw deepfake was I think 2017 is when they really started to kind of pop up. But
yeah,
that viral video of Bill Hader, I think he was on Conan, and he was doing a Tom Cruise impression.
Yeah,
try explaining that to your parents or a boomer of like how confusing must that be to someone who may be a little out of touch with current technology, and you see that on your TV and you're like, what is that? Is that voodoo? What the fuck is happening? It freaked me out the first time. I was like, I didn't understand what was going on. It's like, how does he make his eyes look like Tom Cruise's eyes? And then someone was like, that's a deep fake. And I'm like, well, what the fuck's that?
Mm-hmm.
But deep fakes, they take their name from the fact that they use deep learning technology to create fake videos. Deep fake. What's deep learning technology, you ask? It's a kind of machine learning that applies neural net simulation to massive data sets. Now, I don't know what the fuck that means, but that's what this article says. No, I'm assuming... neural net
it's
simulation.
CGI.
Yeah. Yeah, CGI. Artificial intelligence effectively learns what a particular face looks like at different angles in order to transpose the face onto a target as if it were a mask. So it seems somewhat more understandable now. But yeah, imagine being a senior citizen or whatever, and the first time you see something like that, that's got to... I mean, it fucked with me, and, you know, I'm very tech savvy. I'm up to date on all this shit, so.
I mean, you do edit the podcast again.
Yeah, yeah, I sell myself short.
You are doing more over there. I just email a file. You do.
Let's see, 2017.
Is it scary to explain to old people that that's fake, or is it going to be scarier to try and explain what's real once this stuff becomes prevalent?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned that last week. Like, I'm now a skeptic because I just assume that everything could be fake. You know, with Photoshop and with CGI and now with deepfakes, like, how the fuck is anybody supposed to trust anything they see? Like,
well. I mean, I think the last few years have shown that misinformation can spread like wildfire, and mass burnout of people going, well, like we're saying now, like, well, I don't know what's what anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of maybe just give up on trying to find the truth.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more in a political sense of like, well, if both sides are just so full of shit and all this fake stuff, mm-hmm. why am I even voting anymore? Mm-hmm. So now your voting numbers go down.
Yeah.
People who still vote are old people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, is like younger people get so jaded by everything. And then it's like, yeah, but I was one of those people too. I was like, fucking voting, what the fuck ever. It's like, god damn, like I begrudge, I'm not happy about it. I'm not excited for the person that I'm voting for. It's never from a place of like, boy, I hope this person wins. It's just like,
no.
I'm just voting for the least, the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hardly a great choice for democracy.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like, all these deep fakes, everything, what if that starts getting like, well, what's the point of even voting? So it's the old people that do vote and believe shit. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
That's who makes policy. People that aren't going to be alive in 10 years are forming the policy for people that are 23 but jaded by the system.
Yeah. There's a scientist named Aviv Avadia. She created coined the term reality apathy. It's too much effort to figure out what's real and what's not, so you're more willing to just go with whatever your previous affiliations are.
So what I said when I interrupted to you yeah, is exactly. You were getting to the point.
Yeah, there you
sorry,
go.
Man.
That's all right, buddy. Well, here's the thing, though. Here's why this is truly, or it could be menacing and dangerous. Not like on the surface, it just looks like a cute parlor trick, you know, like, oh, look what we figured out how to do. But think of all the negative implications that could come from really good deepfakes. For example, just last year, there was a deepfake of Zelensky, the Ukrainian dude. President, I guess. He's mm-hmm. a president. I forget who's a president, who's a prime minister, whatever. But anyway, was Vladimir Zelensky. There was a deep fake of him calling on Ukrainians to put down their arms and surrender to the Russians, mm-hmm. which was not the real Zelensky's message. But, I mean, think about all the hypothetical scenarios where a deep fake could just be detrimental to public safety, to public health. What if there was a deep fake today? Biden holding a press conference that says we're going to start firing nukes at Russia. Think of the mass hysteria something like that might create.
Yeah, I don't think they do that through a press conference.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever. But
I understand, mm-hmm. yeah.
And there's just so many. I mean, think of, like, the criminal element. Criminals could make deep fake videos of someone else committing a crime that they actually did and be like, look, that wasn't me, because... Especially like with back in the day, like when I was in law enforcement, like nothing was better evidence than a video. Oh, you got security camera footage of this guy breaking in. Like that was mm-hmm. the best piece of evidence you could have is video. But now
yeah,
they can manipulate all kinds of things and make me look guilty, that guy look innocent, whatever, you know? And
any new technology is going to have new crime attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's scary, man. Of course, like most technology, it kind of got started in the porn field. You know, look at all the, mm-hmm. the deep fake porn. Not that I would know. I say, hey, look at all the deep fake porn that's out there right now. But I mean, I remember that years ago, like not the deep fake that we're talking about, but you know, when you'd see. Hey, it's a naked body, and then there's a celebrity's face is airbrushed onto it, or you know, photoshopped
yeah,
onto it.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston with a different skin tone in mm-hmm. a Photoshop that makes it look like her neck is broken.
But yeah, like imagine, like bribing politicians, or you know, sexual assault allegations, anything, you know. There's just so many negative ways that people could use this.
Or the other way of like, oh, no, it was a deep fake. Like the whole, oh, no, my phone got hacked. Mm-hmm. Whenever somebody gets caught cheating or something, like my phone got hacked. Oh, no, that's a deep fake. I didn't do that. That's
well,
a deep
of course.
Fake.
Yeah.
Or just denying. Yeah. Just, mm-hmm. Oh, it's fake news.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's fake news. Just deny.
Yeah.
Just deny and move forward. It's the opposite of improv.
Mm-hmm.
There's no yes and. It's no. No, and
mm-hmm.
that's the yeah, deny election results, deny like, just keep charging forward. Yeah, I. Oh man.
The Brookings.
What do you think they got to teach kids in school about it? Do you think like that's got to be a class of like, oh, just like learning misinformation
and. Man, that's a great point in general. Think of. I mean, neither one of us are in the educational system anymore. But like, I'd love to talk to a teacher.
I'm in the school of hard knocks right now, dude. Getting a graduate degree, bro.
But what are kids learning these days that we didn't even know existed 25 years ago when we were in school or whenever that was? It's longer than that now. But yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Are there going to be classes on how to identify deepfakes, how to identify disinformation? Like that's, I just don't know.
I read
what good could come out.
I read
of this.
It's. I know I read too much Reddit, but I don't participate. I just read. I mean, occasionally, like put like bike or like I'll put a stand up video or something up, but. I can't get caught in that world of commenting, but reading about how much you talk about like what kids know now, like how much porn has affected how people fuck. Like people fuck because they think that's how it happens in the move. Like, and there was a joke in that show Beef that I was talking about last week where they're talking about like, oh, it's a whole generation that thinks like that, choking is normalized in sex now because it's porn, and I was doing a joke before I saw the joke at Beef. I'm like, goddamn, here's another one, but just about like, oh, everything's got to be a kink now, like everything's got to be whipped up now. We're back around to the water sports, but back around like everything's got to be wild. It's like it doesn't, you know, sex could just be good, and you could add like good things to it, like ice cream or something, not lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
But that they made the joke like, oh, it's like their generation normalized choking during sex. It's like, oh yeah, kids. And some like one comment I read, like whether you believe them or not, like, oh yeah, a guy like having sex with a woman doggy style, but like angling it outward. It's like, oh, because that's how you see them do it. So the camera can see it in porn. And now that's how you have sex with a woman naturally. Like, oh yeah, that stuff. Yeah. I think it can fuck with the mind a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Man, so more than a little bit.
I saw something the other day, not on a porn site, but on, I think it was a news thing. Age play? You know about age play? I'm a grown man, and the way I have sex with my wife is I pretend to be a little baby. Well, I don't know if they're the sexual part, but like I had this article, this grown man, he was like 45, and he's in a diaper. And he's sucking on a pacifier, and he's rolling around on the ground, and his wife is feeding him baby food. And, I don't understand that at all, and B, I don't understand how they connect that to sex. What the fuck, man?
Well, again, man, it's not, you know.
I know, can't judge, sex if positive, it's, you know.
If it's weird to me. It's weird to me, but you two special people found each other. All right.
Oh man.
It's a whole world of fun stuff out there for people that are open-minded, I guess.
Going back to this deepfake stuff, it's actually affecting or could affect the business world as well. Reading this article about the three types of fraud associated with deepfakes in business. It's one called C-level fraud. It's the most prominent method. As a result, fraudsters no longer seek to persuade an organization's employee with a fake email to transfer money, but rather a phone call that makes the caller sound the same as their boss. So you could receive a phone call from your CEO or your boss and want you to transfer these funds or whatever. And you're like, all right, Tom, whatever you say, you're the boss. And that wasn't Tom. That was a fraudster scamming you. out of money.
Imagine having a shitty boss, too, that you'd be so afraid to double check
because mm-hmm.
you'd look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's just from Ferris Bueller's Day Off anyway.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
I mean, that's not even a deep fake. That's just, oh, this guy does voices real well.
Oh, man. Let's see.
We'll get a Domian on the phone. Scam some people.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like, it's funny how some of this technology kind of contradicts other technology. Because, like, the facial recognition thing a few years ago, everybody thought that was going to be the end all as far as, personal security with devices and whatnot. But, shit, mm-hmm. now that you can deepfake... I mean, it's just a matter of time if it hasn't happened already. People hack.
Maybe that's how they. Your phone memorized your face, so mm-hmm. you can unlock it
mm-hmm.
from all the different angles, and then somebody hacks your phone, and now they got that digital information on how to map your face.
Mm-hmm.
What? Shut the fuck up. Speaking of that, my Apple Watch thought I said something to it, and I didn't. Everything's listening all the time.
Oh, of course.
Dave, everything's listening all the time, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that's how they
get
you.
We are okay with it.
How
you can
you
talk about not being okay with it? You're okay with it.
They say one way to prevent a deep fake. Let's say you're on a Zoom call, or whatever with someone, and for whatever reason you think they might be a deep fake. If you and I are Zooming together and I think it's someone pretending to be you, I would ask you to turn to the side. Let me see your facial profile, because apparently that's one of the hardest things to replicate is, facial vantage points from the side or a profile. I guess it's a lot easier to just fake somebody, straight on. But then if...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... They want you to ask your person, hey, I know this is a bit awkward. I don't really believe it's you. Can you turn to the side and let me see your facial profile there?
But what happens when we're just deemed, just a greater question for AI, and what happens when I'm deemed a threat because I've called Alexa and Siri a cunt so many times that when... AI, when it's all becoming sentient, it's like, well, let's analyze who might be a threat. And it's uh-huh. like, well, this guy clearly doesn't like interacting with the machines.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get rid of him first.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm afraid of, buddy. That the machines know I'm not a big fan of them.
Do you have Alexa?
They're going to maximum overdrive me.
Do you have Alexa
once they
in your
get
house?
The chance. Do I have what?
Do you have Alexa in
Alexa?
Your house?
We had it before. Rachel had one.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it kept a record of what you would say to it.
Oh, really?
And she came home one day. She's like, rough day? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I know what you say to Alexa. And I was like, you fucking bitch.
Wow.
Play Peter Tosh, you fucking cunt. Like it doesn't recognize my voice. Rachel would talk to it and be fine. It was this real passive aggressive shit.
Oh, man.
And it wouldn't recognize my voice or get it wrong. And it still is like that. In the car, Siri doesn't like it's something about the register of my voice. And it will not, like I'd say 3 times out of 5 does not recognize my requests.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get on board with that, man. I just, I know that I'm partaking in every other possible way, having an iPhone and having a MacBook and doing all this shit. But I think not even the AI and the security issues with Alexa, but I don't know, man. Just, Alexa, do this for me. I don't know. I feel like at the very least I can cue up my own songs.
I was self-conscious about it, too. It's different, I'm walking around the house cleaning, and I do want to hear this song. Play it instead of having to stop and do my thing.
Yeah.
That convenience, when it worked, was nice. Or now I realize the convenience for me is I'm wearing the fucking watch.
Mm-hmm.
I like the timers. I like setting alarms for things just with my voice on my wrist. Mm-hmm. You know, these things do come with conveniences. They do make life easier in certain ways. Now, that's the conspiracy brain, is that, I think I'm just falling out of the conspiracy theory racket.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
And it's flooded. Mm-hmm. It's like everything's the conspiracy now. Mm-hmm. Like the exhaustion people are talking, like we're just mentioning with the deepfakes. What was it called? Reality exhaustion?
Mm-hmm. Reality apathy.
Reality apathy. Mm-hmm. I'm getting conspiracy apathy.
Yeah.
Everybody's out to get you. Mm-hmm. Then you'd be dead.
Yeah.
You'd be dead.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
Look at what Russia does. Yeah. Conspiracy. If you're really exposing the truth and the truth is a threat, you would be removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phil Schneider.
I mean, I know the government is bumbling, but they'd get you. Mm-hmm. If you were really going to tell the world about the aliens that you saw at your underground base where you worked at, if they didn't want you to talk, they'd kill you. Mm-hmm. And if you are talking, they want you to talk. Mm-hmm. I will give them that. I will say that the government, I do believe, will eliminate a threat without blinking an eye.
For sure. I mean, yeah. Still think they killed Kennedy.
We go to whole wars over threats. Uh-huh. Yeah. What's a guy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. More, I think it's probably a blessing that there's more internet sleuths uncovering the truth. Like, good, everybody. Go click clack away.
Speaking of AI, McDonald's opened their first fully automated restaurant in Fort Worth, Texas. No human contact whatsoever. Basically a giant vending machine. I'm sure there's got to be humans working inside the building somewhere, right? But none in terms of a customer service capacity.
Oh.
But yeah, first fully automated McDonald's in Fort Worth, Texas.
So yeah, but yeah, so it's just a hot food vending machine, like you're saying.
That'd be impressive, though, if there was literally no humans working there. I mean, obviously, you'd have to have someone deliver the frozen patties and what have you, but that would be neat to go in and see, even in the back, nobody working. It's just robots making burgers.
I mean, if they can make cars, they can make burgers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm talking about Mexicans. Come on. It's a joke. I'd feel indifferent towards that.
Yeah.
Like, well, you still need people to make the robots to make the burgers. Mm-hmm. Where are these teens? Gonna have roving packs of teens, jobless teens. What are the teens gonna do, Dave? Where's the job for the teens?
Yeah, that's a good question. They don't even have my main source of income as a teenager. I was a bag boy at multiple grocery stores. They don't even have. Well, I mean, people bag that stuff up, but nobody takes it out to the car anymore. Wonder why that stopped.
Yeah.
Wonder why that stopped. Huh? Never thought of that. But yeah.
You had shopping carts.
Yeah, but you had those back then too. Industry-wide, I guess they just cut out that form of customer service.
It's almost like corporations saw where to trim the fat, so more money went up the ladder.
Yeah.
And a lot of things got streamlined. Mm-hmm. That's what I say at a job, like, do as much as you're getting paid for. Don't do more.
Yeah.
If somebody quits, don't pick up the slack. That just will prove to them that we didn't need that other employee in the first place, and they won't hire somebody else.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. I was always like, well, no, let me chip in. You know, I thought some of these jobs, I do think there are benevolent bosses in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of them, but there's some okay. But for the most part, like, oh, we're so-and-so quit, so we'll all pick up the slack. Nah, fuck that. Hire another person.
Yeah.
Oh, we pick up the slack. Now you just, the corporation, the business doesn't have to pay for that missing employee. And now you're doing more work than you are getting paid for.
Yeah. I remember we used to gaslight customers. If we had a big order and it would take two back boys to carry it out to the car, we would always just make small talk with each other. I remember being like 16 and one of our go-to sob stories was my partner would just bring up, so I hear Susie's pregnant. And I'm like, yeah, number two's on the way. I'm like 16. Little old lady eavesdropping like, oh, my God, I better tip this guy a little extra. But, yeah, we're always talking about our kids just being a teenage fathers in hopes that we get tipped more.
I'm still confused. So basically, they wouldn't put the shopping cart out to the parking lot?
No, it was just we had these other carts. They weren't shopping carts. I don't know if you remember those, but they were more kind of, it's like a dolly almost with a couple little baskets attached to it. But yeah, they're just,
sure.
When you go through, you know, the checkout, you throw your stuff on there, the clerk scans it, and then the bag boy bags it up, and then we put it in our cart. And then wait for the customer to lead the way, and then we just follow them out and load it in their car. And usually it's good for at least a buck. Sometimes if you had a big order, somebody might throw you a $5 bill. But, yeah, it's a good gig.
We're sitting here talking about, like, deep fakes and AI and robots mimicking people. I get impressed with the robot that they use to push the long lines of shopping carts. Out of the parking lot. I used to have to grab that shit on my own.
Yep.
Working at a Kmart, pushing it through a snowy parking lot, thinking like, oh, I can do 15 carts and watching them just start to careen sideways into somebody's new Corolla.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. And then you're running to stop the front one from flying off. Then the back ones start rolling downhill. Now I see this... This Thanksgiving Day parade length of shopping carts coming, and a guy with just a little motorized thing guiding them right into the front of the store. I'm like, whoa, the future is now.
Yeah. I hope they make robots that can return shopping carts to the little pin area there. That's still such a measuring stick for a shitbag. Just return your fucking shopping cart. It's right there. Just walk 20 feet. And return your shopping cart. Come on. Still pisses me off when I see people do that. Some motherfuckers.
I understand, Dave. We're not going to follow people around the neighborhood now. I hate it too, though. I think it's how you think of the world around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a matter of respect for the people around you that you don't know. That's a judge of a character.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Yeah, it's how you treat people that can't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is what speaks to your character.
Yeah. Oh, and boy. So,
well, we sure figured out nothing.
We're doomed
today.
We're doomed. I don't trust anything anymore.
This has been a deep fake episode. We're both James and Adomian.
Oh, James Adomian, one of the funniest human beings on the planet. How is he not a megastar? I don't understand that. Such a funny
dude. I don't know. Doesn't want to play the game. I don't know.
So funny.
A lot of people that are fantastically talented, but there's a game. There is a game involved. Again, the difference between Hollywood and sports.
Yep.
There's a lot of... just glaringly unremarkable people that are famous through Hollywood.
Boy, that's a diplomatic way to put it.
Just, oh, God, just an unbuttered piece of toast that gets rocketed to the top. That doesn't happen in sports, and you're making me appreciate sports on a different level for looking at things that way.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Good
luck. Well,
good luck with your hustle.
Where are you going to be, Dave?
Fort Collins, Colorado, June 2nd and 3rd. And possibly Manitou Springs again on the 31st of May. So that's, I don't know why I'm talking about shows that haven't been confirmed. But no, hopefully that will be confirmed soon. But Fort Collins has been confirmed. The Comedy Fort. You been there yet? You've been there, right?
Comedy Fort's great.
Yeah, I hear it's great. I'm looking forward to it. Never been.
Fantastic club.
Yeah, man. What you got going on?
Got that second show at the Bell House in Brooklyn May 4th with some tickets left. White Eagle's got a couple tickets left.
Hell yeah.
And then, yeah, I'm doing more regional stuff. I'm in Roseburg tomorrow night, Roseburg, Oregon.
There you go.
At a place, I'm not sure where. Maybe Google things. I should do the same. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. Santium Brewing in Salem, Oregon. Thursday and Friday, I might be out at Black Rock riding a bicycle around. If you see me, don't laugh at me. I'm not good at mountain biking.
Black Rock at Beats.
I just enjoy it.
Yeah. I've seen you shred on the mountain bike, dude. You look like you know what you're doing.
No, but you should watch other mountain biking.
Really?
That's why if I saw you swing a golf club, I'm like, get this guy ready for the PGA Tour, because yeah. I don't watch other golfers.
It's true. Hey, you mentioned you got an e-bike the other day. What is that again? I forgot.
It's got a little motor in it.
Okay.
It's just a little electric motor with a battery. Somewhat controversial in the mountain biking community.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be honest, I'm 46. My knees hurt, and I like the going down part better than I like the going up part.
Good for you.
And so some people think like, oh, that's taken, you got to earn it. I've pedaled up many of things, mm-hmm. and I've earned it. I'm not accessing stuff that's out of my league because I have an e-bike all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But people are just feel like it's not pure to the sport. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you drive your bike to the trailhead?
What do you care?
You should have ridden there. You should have ridden to the trailhead because otherwise you are using an assisted. You are using an assist by driving your bike to the trailhead. You should have ridden your bike all the way there.
Oh, you bought a bike?
So, anyway, whatever.
Build it out of metal. You should, fucking poser.
Yeah, you should have crafted one. But it's. I honestly, I don't think anybody's that upset. Again, it's more just internet comments are not the real world. Nobody's having this fight in the parking lot of a trail system. Somebody might be like, oh, before I got an e-bike, I would see people on e-bikes and be kind of like, must be nice. And you give them, if they're your friend, you give them a little shit. And I would make fun, like, at least act like you're out of breath so we don't feel so bad. You know, just being silly. But all I saw was a guy that got to do 5 times the amount of laps that I got to do, because he got to go up the hill and then do all the fun jumps down. I only want to do the fun jumps down too. But I only got enough athleticism to get back up twice. And this guy can do it 5 times? Of course that's what I want to do. I'm old. I'm not getting younger. I'm not getting in better shape. I want to keep doing the things I like for as long as I can keep doing them.
Well, good for you, buddy. Don't take no shit out there.
I ain't taking no shit.
Fucking e-bike.
Don't give me no shit. I ain't going to take no shit. No zero shit commerce going on with me.
Don't start no shit. Won't be no shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude.
Pack of lunch coming out.
Pack of lunch.
Pack of lunch coming out next week.
May 5th. Shocks and Struts out there right now. Oh, I don't know if you follow Dave's Record Room on Instagram. I didn't tag you because we're pals, but I finished my Kyle Kinane vinyl discography. I got everything you got out there, buddy. Waiting for Shocked and Struts.
Why don't you give it to you?
You've given me stuff, but I think I even asked about the one that I didn't have was Loose in Chicago, and I couldn't find that anywhere. And I finally found it online, and I snagged it. So now I got the full discography.
I think I might only have one of those.
Yeah.
if I'm being honest.
I wanted you put that one out. There was a pressing you did a couple of years ago on Record Store Day. I think it was either clear or orange vinyl or something. That's the one I got to find.
Oh, is it?
I got a regular old boring black vinyl one, but nonetheless.
I don't even know which one I have.
But yeah, that's a little milestone on the record collection. I got all the Kalkanane stuff, so look at me.
You got valuable record collections.
I was into them before it was cool. So
yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you were. Well, fuck yeah.
Well, good times, buddy. Oh, yeah, speaking of vinyl, Pack Lunch May 5th on YouTube, but right now available for pre-order at blondemedicine.com. So limited number of those. I think they're going fast, so get on that pre-order. 2 LP nice. Colored splatter vinyl. We'll take your money now, but it ships in August, so get on that.
Yeah, part with your money.
That's right. Give me your money.
Give him your money.
Beautiful. Well, good times, buddy. Get out there and get rad. Enjoy some water sports, or some kayaking.
Uh-huh. Well, whatever you're into, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
People are into weird shit. Be safe. Be consensual. I'm gonna get weird.
Put on a diaper and have Katie spank my bottom. So.
Honestly, the way you eat, I don't think a diaper's too far off. I think you're about to do that astronaut girlfriend thing to a buffet one of these days.
We could go mudding. That's a thing, too, if water sports is a thing.
Going mudding?
Go mudding.
Oh, goddamn.
All right, I'm going to throw up now. All right, buddy.
There you go.
You keep it in the ditches.
Talk to you later.
We'll talk to you next week.
The Boogie Monster.